The reading is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
So a few weeks ago, I was out walking and thinking and praying about what I might share at the four covenant services that I would be leading in the new year. And as I walked, the words faith, hope and love came into my mind. When I got home, I did what preachers do at times such as this. I referred to a concordance, or actually the internet, to discover which were specifically the New Testament passages where those three things, those three words, faith, hope and love, appear together. Probably you already know 1 Corinthians 13, you know, Paul's great exhortation on the theme of love, at the end of which he says, and now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. Then I was reminded as I looked of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, where Paul remembers the church at Thessalonica before God, and he praises the church in Thessalonica, praises, and I quote, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another verse as well in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 that says, and this might be a command for a dry January, it starts, let us be sober, looking at one or two of you, and then goes on, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet, which, of course, links into the idea of the armour of God that we find in Ephesians 6. But the final reference that I found is the one that I mainly want to speak about this morning, the one that you will see on this card. Just to amplify a little bit, it says there, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that's come to you. And Paul goes on in the same way. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Somewhere on my laptop at home, I have a photo of me holding identical newborn twins. It's one of those kind of cute moments, you know, even with me in it. And these newborn identical twin girls were named by their parents Faith and Hope. It would have been so much better for this sermon if they'd had triplets and called them Faith, Hope and Love, wouldn't it? But maybe it still works, because those two girls were born out of the love that their parents had for each other. So faith and hope and love are intertwined. And in the Bible, faith, hope and love are intertwined. They spring from each other. Now, of course, as we've heard, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that the greatest of these is love. And it is, because the Bible tells us that God is love, and that whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them, 1 John 4:16. Love is essential. And yet, so is faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And most of us, if not all, will know the words of John 3:16 that tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever has faith in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. So God's love reaches out and seeks the response of faith. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, we're told of God that he has set eternity in the human heart. And when we find God in Christ, we gain eternity. And in eternity is the hope stored up in heaven for us that we find here in Colossians 1 verse 5. So faith, hope and love. How much have we needed to hang on to those things in the past 2 years? Hope in better things to come, not least the hope of heaven. Faith in the one who has given himself on the cross, and the love of God for us that means that our hope and our faith are not in vain. Been tough, hasn't it? Been tough. At the end of World War II, the following words were apparently found written on the wall of a cellar in a concentration camp for Jews at Cologne. I say apparently because we can't know for sure. But these are the words that someone had scrawled. I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. And I believe in love, even when there's no one there. And I believe in God, even when he is silent. Wherever they come from, these are the words of someone deciding to believe against the evidence of the time that God is still there and that God still cares. If you search this on the internet, you'll find that someone has added these words to the poem that perhaps weren't part of the original one. I believe through any trial there is always a way. But sometimes in this suffering and hopeless despair, my heart cries for shelter to know someone's there. But a voice rises within me saying, hold on, my child, I'll give you strength. I'll give you hope. Stay for a little while. Pretty murky day today, isn't it? We can just about believe in the sun now. I think it's starting to kind of burn off the mist, isn't it? Last Sunday was a very different day. It was one of those nights that I woke very early, so I just got up and kind of finished off what I needed to do for my service at Thornborough. And just before sunrise, I thought, I'll go for a walk. So I walked across past the community centre just over there. And as I walked up the slight incline of the path going south, I just saw the sun peeking over the top of the hill at Padbury. Some of you will have seen one or two photos that I posted on Facebook subsequent to that. And of course, the thing about the sun is that as you see it, it gradually rises, doesn't it? It gradually gets bigger. And light comes, warmth comes. And I just felt in that moment, maybe there was something about that for us in our covenant service. We've been through difficult times, but the sun rises. The sun is still there. The sun rises with the warmth that we know the sun has. And in the same way, it seems to me that we are once again going to know in these coming days the love of God increasingly shining upon us with light, with hope. So I want to encourage you to hold on to hope, to keep the faith, and to know the love of God, who is not just there, but is here, isn't he? God is here with us. The Apostle Paul is not immune to suffering and despair. He writes from prison to the church at Colossae, incarcerated because of his faith in Christ. Paul has never been to Colossae. He never gets there, as far as we know. But it seems that his friend Epaphras has planted the church there, and Paul's able to send his letter to the church with another friend, Tychicus, who is mentioned at the end of Colossians. And Paul has been heartened by what he has heard from his friend Epaphras. The church at Colossae is growing. It is flourishing as the gospel bears fruit. And Paul must be feeling that suffering for the sake of Jesus is worth it. These people have received God's gifts of faith, hope, and love. And Paul thanks God for them. Faith, hope, and love. They're great gifts, aren't they? One or two of you look as though you might believe that. They are great gifts to have. Imagine if the early church had kept those gifts to themselves. The church of Christ could have died out within a generation. Imagine if we kept them to ourselves. Faith, hope, and love are not just nouns to describe what we have received. They, I believe, are verbs to describe what we must do. We must share faith because people need the forgiveness and the salvation that we have received in Jesus. And that's why next week we'll be starting the Talking Jesus course that I referred to earlier. An opportunity for us to be encouraged to share the faith that we have by learning together, being encouraged to reach out in our homes, in our workplaces, in our sports and social clubs maybe, wherever it is we happen to hang out through the week. So as I said earlier, now would be a great time to be a part of that. And join in a life group so that you can see the video that goes with it and share in the discussions that we'll have. So we encourage one another. So we must share faith. And we must spread hope as well, because people need to hear that there is something more for them. In the last few years, and especially during the pandemic, the area of mental health has come increasingly into the public eye. 18 months ago, amazingly enough, some of us here began a journey towards opening a weekly Renew Cafe in our church building in Well Street. And this is, the Renew Cafe is a quiet shared space where it's okay not to be okay. We opened fully last Easter, having opened very briefly and then been locked down again and kind of continued on Zoom as best we were able. Just after Easter, we opened up in the church. Every Saturday morning, I've been doing that ever since. We have a team of about 10 volunteers who have been serving three or four each Saturday morning. And we open up our church building to anyone who wants to come, and particularly to those who need to find hope. Over that time, we've had maybe a dozen different people come along, with an average of 3 to 4, I guess, each week. There's room for more, and the word is spreading. But to be honest, it wouldn't be the quiet shared space people need if it grew too much. So if 3 or 4 each week doesn't sound successful, well, think in terms of significance rather than success. It is significant to those who come along. So although we wouldn't want that to be too big, we might open another day during the week if we have more volunteers and increase the hope that we can spread. Team members who are here this morning, can you just wave a hand, please? Oh, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, keep them up. Well, that's most of us, actually, isn't it? So brilliant, thank you very much. So you've seen those who are regularly helping. It may be once a month, it may be twice a month. And generally speaking, it doesn't need to be more than twice a month unless people want it to be. So speak to one of us if you would like to find out more about serving or about coming along as a guest, because, you know, if it's something that would help you in cultivating good mental health, then it is for you, people in our church, part of our church, not just outside of it. So we must spread hope, and we must practice love for all God's people, because our loving acts draw people towards God. It starts with loving one another, doesn't it? Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let me tell you something that you already know. We are not a perfect church. You know, they say, don't they, that if you find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll only spoil it. There is no such thing this side of eternity as a perfect church. And Paul is not writing to a perfect church in Colossae. They had issues. Every church does. And yet Paul is able to thank God always for the faith, hope, and love that has come their way. The good news of Jesus is bearing fruit, is growing among them as it is through the whole world. Here's a tip for loving others in our church, especially if it's a struggle. Pray for them. Pray for them. Not pray that God would change them, but pray for them. And in doing that, God might change you. Pray for those that you don't like and those that you do. Pray in the way that Paul prays here in Colossians chapter 1, that they and we will all be filled with the knowledge of his will and live lives worthy of him. See, as we pray for one another, we love one another. And as we love one another, our love cannot help but spill over so that people not in our church or not in any church say, see how these Christians love one another. So it's because we seek to be faithful hopeful and loving that we are having a gift day today, as well as renewing our commitment to God. Would you want lack of funds to be an obstacle to us sharing faith, spreading hope, and practicing love for all God's people? I wouldn't. So we want to continue what we are doing already. We want to do new things. We want to ensure that funds are there for Bev when she returns from maternity leave, for the youth worker post that we have. All of these things we want to continue with. Doing ministry and mission in ways we already are in and in ways that the Lord has yet to reveal to us. So, for all of us today, as we renew our commitment to God in this covenant service, it's a time to reflect and to commit to sharing faith, hope, and love anew in the coming year. How will you do those things? Take some time, in a moment. Take some time outside of this service. Take some time with the Lord and ask him, Lord, how do you want me to share faith, hope, and love in the coming year? And the awesome thing, I think, is that as we share faith, we find it ourselves all the more. And as we spread hope, it increases our own. And as we practice love in serving others, we become all the more aware of the love of God our Father for us through Jesus the Son. So let's pray for a moment. Then we're going to sing and then we'll come to our time of receiving a new members, of covenant renewal and of communion. So Lord God, we thank you for the gift of faith that is ours through Jesus. We thank you for the love that has come down to us through Jesus and which we see displayed supremely in the cross. We thank you for the hope that is ours because Jesus is risen from death and has won the victory over all things that threaten to take us away from you, Lord God. So, Lord, as we come in a few moments, may we come in faith and hope and love, ready to commit ourselves. And we pray that you would reveal to us the particular ways, maybe that we're already sharing faith and hope and love, but also the ways in which we can do so in the coming year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.